So today I have a question for you. Which marriage covenant are you standing in? The first covenant marriage was brokered by Moses at Mount Sinai through the giving of the Ten Commandments, the giving of the law. The second or new marriage covenant was brokered by Jesus Christ at the cross and by his death. Him taking the penalty for our sins, we could step into a new covenant, a new marriage covenant, where we are betrothed to Christ. This is a day to do a heart check. Have you gradually slid over to standing at Mount Sinai, and is Moses now your head? Or are you standing at Mount Zion with Jesus as your head, as your betrothed? Listen in as we unpack this today. Welcome to the 1 Year Audio Bible Podcast. Today is July 21st. Now let's continue our journey reading through the entire Bible in 1 year. This week we are reading from the Israel Bible for the Tanakh, the Hebrew Scriptures, or the Old Testament, and from the King James for the Apostolic Writings, or the New Testament. Numbers 26, 33 to 65. Now, Zelophehad, son of Hepher, had no sons, only daughters. The names of Zelophehad's daughters were Machla, Noah, Hagla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Those are the clans of Manasseh, persons enrolled, 52,700. These are the descendants of Ephraim by their clans. Of Shuthelah, the clan of the Shuthelites, of Becher, the clan of the Becherites, of Tahan, the clan of the Tahanites. These are the descendants of Shuthelah, of Aaron, the clan of the Aaronites. Those are the clans of Ephraim's descendants, persons enrolled, 32,500. Those are the descendants of Joseph by their clans. The descendants of Benjamin by their clans, of Bela, the clan of the Belaites, of Ashbel, the clan of the Ashbelites, of Ahiram, the clan of the Ahiramites, of Shephupham, the clan of the Shephamites, of Hupham, the clan of the Huphamites. The sons of Bela were Ard and Naaman, the clan of the Ardites, of Naaman, the clan of the Naamanites. Those are the descendants of Benjamin by their clans, persons enrolled, 45,600. These are the descendants of Dan by their clans. Of Shuhan, the clan of the Shuhamites. Those are the clans of Dan by their clans. All the clans of the Shuhamites, persons enrolled, 64,400. The descendants of Asher by their clans. Of Imnah, the clan of the Imites. Of Ishvi, the clan of the Ishvites. Of Beriah, the clan of the Berites. Of the descendants of Beriah. Of Hever, the clan of the Heberites, of Malkiel, the clan of the Malkielites. The name of Asher's daughter was Sarah. These are the clans of Asher's descendants, persons enrolled, 53,400. Descendants of Naphtali by their clans, of Jaziel, the clan of the Jazielites, of Guni, the clan of the Gunites, of Jezer, the clan of the Jezerites, of Shillem, the clan of the Shillemites. Those are the clans of the Naphtalites, clan by clan, persons enrolled, 45,400. This is the enrollment of the Israelites, 601,730. Hashem spoke to Moses, saying, "Among these shall the land be apportioned as shares, according to the listed names. With larger groups increase the share, with smaller groups reduce the share. Each is to be assigned its share according to its enrollment. The land, moreover, is to be apportioned by lot, and the allotment shall be made according to the listings of their ancestral tribes. Each portion shall be assigned by lot, whether for larger or smaller groups. This is the enrollment of the Levi'im by their clans, of Gershom, the clan of the Gershonites, of Kehat, the clan of the Kohathites, of Merari, the clan of the Merarites. These are the clans of Levi, the clan of the Libnites, the clan of the Shevronites, the clan of the Mahlites, the clan of the Mushites, the clan of the Korahites. He had begot Amram. The name of Amram's wife was Jochebed, daughter of Levi, who was born to Levi in Egypt. She bore to Amram Aaron and Moses and their sister Miriam. To Aaron were born Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Itamar. Nadab and Abihu died when they offered alien fire before Hashem. Their enrollment of 23,000 comprised all males from a month ago. They were not part of the regular enrollment of the Israelites, since no share was assigned to them among the Israelites. These are the persons enrolled by Moses and Eleazar the Kohen, who registered the Israelites on the steps of Moab at the Jordan near Jericho. Among these, there was not one of those enrolled by Moses and Aaron the Kohen when they recorded the Israelites in the wilderness of Sinai. For Hashem had said of them, "They shall die in the wilderness." Not one of them survived except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Second Chronicles 4:1-6:11. He made an altar of bronze, 20 amot long, 20 amot wide, and 10 amot high. He made the sea of cast metal, 10 amot across from brim to brim, perfectly round. It was 5 amot high, and its circumference was 30 amot. Beneath were figures of oxen set all around it, of 10 amot. Encircling the sea, the oxen were in two rows, cast in one piece with it. It stood upon 12 oxen, 3 faced north, 3 faced west, 3 faced south, and 3 faced east, with the sea resting upon them, and their haunches were all turned inward. It was a tefach thick, and its brim was made like that of a cup, like the petals of a lily. It held 3,000 batim. He made 10 bronze lavers for washing. He set 5 on the right and 5 on the left. They would rinse off in them the parts of the burnt offering, but the sea served the Kohanim for washing. He made 10 menorahs of gold as prescribed, and placed them in the great hall, 5 on the right and 5 on the left. He made 10 tables and placed them in the great hall, 5 on the right and 5 on the left. He made 100 gold basins. He built the court of the Kohanim and the great court, and doors for the great court. He overlaid the doors with bronze. He set the sea on the right side at the southeast corner. Huram made the pails, the shovels, and the basins. With that, Huram completed the work he had undertaken for King Solomon in the house of Hashem, the two columns, the globes, and the two capitals on top of the columns, and the two pieces of network to cover the two globes of the capitals on top of the columns, the 400 pomegranates for the two pieces of network, two rows of pomegranates for each network to cover the two globes of the capitals on top of the columns. He made the stands and the lavers upon the stands, one sea with the 12 oxen beneath it, the pails, the shovels, and the bowls, and all the vessels made for King Solomon for the house of Hashem by Huram, his master, were of burnished bronze. The king had them cast in molds dug out of the earth in the plain of the Jordan between Sukkot and Zeredah. Solomon made a very large number of vessels. The weight of the bronze used could not be reckoned, and Solomon made all the furnishings that were in the house of Hashem, the altar of gold, the tables for the bread of display, the menorahs and their lamps to burn as prescribed in front of the inner sanctuary of solid gold, and the petals, lamps, and tongs of purest gold, the snuffers, basins, ladles, and fire pans of solid gold, and the entrance to the house, the doors of the innermost part of the house, the Holy of Holies, and the doors of the great hall of the house of gold. When all the work that King Solomon undertook for the house of Hashem was completed, Solomon brought the things that his father David had consecrated, the silver, the gold, and the utensils, and deposited them in the treasury of the house of Hashem. Then Solomon convoked the elders of Israel, all the heads of the tribes and the ancestral chiefs of the Israelites in Jerusalem, to bring up the Arom Brit Hashem, the Ark, from the city of David, that is, Zion. All the men of Israel assembled before the king at the feast in the seventh month. When all the elders of Israel had come, the Levi'im carried the Aron, the Ark. They brought up the Ark of the tent of meeting and all the holy vessels that were in the tent. The Levite Kohanim brought them up. Meanwhile, King Solomon and the whole community of Israel, who had gathered to him before the Ark, were sacrificing sheep and oxen in such abundance that they could not be numbered or counted. The Kohanim brought the Ark to its place in the inner sanctuary of the house, in the Holy of Holies, beneath the wings of the cherubim. For the cherubim had their wings spread out over the place of the Ark, so that the cherubim covered the Ark and its poles from above. The poles projected beyond the Ark, and the ends of the poles were visible from the front of the inner sanctuary, but they could not be seen from the outside, and there they remain to this day. There was nothing inside the Ark but the two tablets that Moses placed there at Horeb, when Hashem made the covenant with the Israelites after their departure from Egypt. When the Kohanim came out of the sanctuary, all the Kohanim present had sanctified themselves without keeping to the set divisions. All the Levite singers, Asaph, Heman, Jeduthun, their sons and their brothers, dressed in fine linen, holding cymbals, harps, and lyres, were standing to the east of the altar, and with them were 120 Kohanim who blew trumpets. The trumpeters and the singers joined in unison to praise and extol Hashem. And as the sound of the trumpets, cymbals, and other musical instruments, and the praise of Hashem, for he is good, for his steadfast love is eternal, grew louder, the house of Hashem was filled with a cloud. The Kohanim could not stay and perform the service because of the cloud, for the glory of Hashem filled the house of Hashem. Then Solomon declared, Hashem has chosen to abide in a thick cloud. I have built for you a stately house and a place where you may dwell forever. Then, as the whole congregation of Israel stood, the king turned and blessed the whole congregation of Israel. He said, Blessed is the God of Israel, who made a promise to my father David and fulfilled it. For he said, From the time I brought my people out of the land of Egypt, I never chose a city from among all the tribes of Israel to build a house where my name might abide, nor did I choose anyone to be the leader of my people Israel. But then I chose Jerusalem for my name to abide there, and I chose David to rule my people Israel. Now my father David has wanted to build a house for the name of the God of Israel. But Hashem said to my father David, As for you wanting to build a house for my name, you do well to want that. However, you shall not build the house. Your son, the issue of your loins, he shall build the house for my name. Now Hashem has fulfilled the promise that he made. I have succeeded my father David and have ascended the throne of Israel as Hashem promised. I have built the house for the name of God of Israel, and there I have set the ark containing the covenant that Hashem made with the Israelites. Romans 7, 1-13. Know you not, brethren, for I, Paul, speak to them that know the law, how that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives? For the woman which has a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, She is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who was raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, and not in the oldness of the letter. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. No, I had not known sin, but by the law, for I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me, that by which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Psalm 17, 1-15. Hear the right, O Lord, attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goes not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from your presence. Let your eyes behold the things that are equal. You have proved my heart. You have visited me in the night. You have tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of the lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in your paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon you, for you will hear me, O God. Incline your ear unto me and hear my speech. Show your marvelous loving kindness, O you that save by your right hand them which put their trust in you from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of your eye, hide me under the shadow of your wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about. They are enclosed in their own fat, with their mouth they speak proudly. They have now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth. Like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down. Deliver my soul from the wicked, which is your sword. From men, which are your hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, and whose belly you fill with your hidden treasure. They are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babies. As for me, I will behold your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. Proverbs 19, 22 and 23. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. I want to speak to you today from our reading from Romans chapter 7. And Paul opens up this chapter with an illustration about marriage. And he talks about if a woman has a husband, she is bound by the law or the Torah to her husband so long as he lives. But if the husband is dead, then she's loosed from this law of her husband. And then while her husband lives, she be married to another man, she's called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law so that she is no longer an adulteress, though she be married to another man. Now, there's something very deep and profound about this that I really want to unpack with you. The question I want to ask you is, which marriage covenant are you standing in your faith walk? So, one of the marriage covenants that we'll unpack is the one that was given at Mount Sinai through Moses. When Moses received the Ten Commandments and he brought them down to the people and he read them to the people and he said, "Will you obey these commands?" The people said, "Yes, we will." And in effect, that was the like the bride saying, "I do." Now, how do we know that this was a marriage covenant that the God of Israel was inviting these people into? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31 and 32, there's a direct comparison to a marriage covenant there, where it says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." Well, how did the children of Israel break the covenant? Well, recall when Moses came down from the mountain, they had built a golden calf and they were worshiping it. This was, in the eyes of God, spiritual adultery. They immediately broke the marriage covenant. So it was a marriage covenant, and the broker of that marriage covenant was Moses. And it was like a marriage unto Moses, a marriage to the law. I promise to obey and to keep and to follow the law. And the people couldn't do it. Their hearts were made of stone, like the stone tablets, and they weren't able to keep it. So now there's another marriage covenant. And what we just read in Romans chapter 7 gives us an illustration of it. It talks about, well, as long as the husband is alive, she's not permitted to marry somebody else. But if that husband, that first husband, dies, then she's loosed, she's released, she's free to remarry. So when Jesus died on the cross, then the members of God's household, his people, were free to step into a new marriage, a new covenant marriage. And that new covenant marriage was unto Jesus himself, not to Moses, not to the law, but to Jesus. And so when a person repents and they turn from their sin and they confess their sin and they turn to Christ, they are basically now betrothed to him. And so the question I ask, sometimes what happens is people fall in love with the Old Testament or with the Torah, with the Sabbath, with the feasts. And it's not intentional or purposeful, it just sort of happens over time. People who are involved in the Hebrew Roots movement, they tend to drift away from Jesus, from that marriage covenant that we have with Jesus. And they tend to go back to Mount Sinai and under Moses, and I'm going to follow the law. I'm going to keep kosher and I'm not going to eat any unclean food and I'm going to keep the Sabbath and keep the feasts. And slowly over time, there's a tendency to drift away from the true husband, the second covenant, the new covenant with Jesus as your husband, as your betrothed. And instead, now you're going back to Mount Sinai and Moses is your head. And you're simply trying to obey the law and perform and do works and earn your way to heaven through good works, through performance. So the question I ask you today is, what marriage covenant are you standing in? Are you married to Christ? Are you trying to be married to Mr. Law, to Moses, the broker of the law, the Torah? We are called to walk in the new covenant, the new marriage covenant in Christ, and let His Holy Spirit, who dwells within us, lead us and guide us day by day. Don't go back to Mount Sinai. Don't go back into the works and the performance mode, because our flesh is weak and we are not able to keep the law apart from Christ. We want to be married and walk in the marriage covenant, the new one, the one with Christ, not the one that was brokered at Mount Sinai through Moses. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.